So as disciples of Jesus, we're called to sit at the feet of Jesus, to listen to his words, to soak in his teachings, and to pay attention not only to his teachings, but to his life, to his actions. There's a message for us as believers about who Jesus was, what he did, and then how we should then live and act as disciples in this world. We're continuing reading from the book of Matthew this week, and we're reading the story of the feeding of the 5,000 from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So this story is one of the more familiar Jesus stories for us. It's a Sunday school classic. We've heard many times, I'm sure, before about the feeding of the 5,000. It's the only miracle that is told in all 4 of the Gospels. And actually, there are six versions of the story for us in the New Testament. It's obviously an important story for us as Jesus followers. Crowds of people are gathered around Jesus, hungry people, more than 5,000, the scripture says, more than they have food for, just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and yet somehow they're fed. After my first year in college, I was an intern at our church camp in Kansas, and one week I was counseling for the high school camp, and during dinner with all the kids, they tried to recreate in us group of 70 or so campers and counselors how different people in the world might eat for a night. And so some of the kids were escorted over to the tables with tablecloths, nice silverware, and plates full of food. And some of us were grouped together there on the floor, and we weren't given quite as much. I was given a little bowl of rice, and I ate it with my fingers. It was just a small glimpse of the realities of our world. And this just isn't just a reality totally removed from our part of the world. Really, our church is in the poorest county in Iowa. People are hungry in one degree or another. I've heard too much lately about friends losing their jobs, rumors of layoffs, more layoffs on the way. And people are struggling with not quite having enough. And there's an overwhelming need in our world, in our community, and that need actually goes deeper than this physical hunger. There are hungers in our world that are for more than bread. People are hungry for truth, for love, for deep, meaningful, real relationships in this world. The pastor, Andrew Foster, says that people are hungering all around us, hungering for a deeper connection with God and with each other, hungering for purpose and meaning, hungering for hope in a stagnant economy. And the church has been called to feed these hungry people with just the few loaves and fishes that we have. It's an overwhelming need around us. And this is the situation that Jesus is facing by the sea. The crowds are gathered, hungry, like sheep without a shepherd. They're gathered, huddled around Jesus, hungry in more ways than one. And the disciples, they come to Jesus saying, let's send the people away. Let them go to town and get something to eat. You have 5,000 or more hungry people. It's too much. But Jesus, not too anxious about it, says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. It's no mystery why the disciples want to send them away. Really, it's the practical thing to do. It's rational. It's just good math. All they've got is 5 loaves of bread, just 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not enough. And we get stuck here. We get stuck in this way of thinking, stuck thinking about our limitations, about our limited resources, especially in anxious times. And we forget how the story goes. Maybe this is why this story is repeated for us multiple times in the New Testament, because over and over again, we stand in this kind of situation with just not enough. Gifts that we have, the things that we have to offer just don't seem like enough. Just 5 loaves. 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's all we have. And Jesus says, bring them here to me. And they bring what they have. We bring what we have. No more, no less. Bring them here to me, Jesus says. Helen Keller once said, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I still can do something. So what is your something? What gifts do you have to bring? It makes me seem small, like it's not enough in the grand scheme of things, but Jesus says, bring them here to me. And then it's in Jesus' hands. So what do you have to give? A few days ago, my daughter, Ella, found some rocks. And she thought it'd be a good idea to paint the rocks. And so we got out her paints, and she carefully and joyfully painted each one. And then on Friday, it was beautiful outside, so we went to go to the park, and she decided that she'd really like to take her rocks and give them away to the kids at the park. She said she wanted to give them to kids so that they would know that they're special. And I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have these sermons where I could tell you about how cute my kids are, you know. Sometimes these kids can teach us some things. And so we went to the park, and she was shyly carrying around her rocks, and she slowly walked up and gave one to a little girl, and the little girl threw it on the ground and ran away. And that's life, right? It's life. And she tried again. She gave it to another little girl, and then the last one she gave. Here's the miracle, thank goodness. This little girl took the rock, and she smiled wide. She ran to her car and put it into her car seat for safekeeping, her new painted rock. She ran back to Ella, and she said, you want to play? It's just a rock. What we give, what we have. When I was little, We lived in Elkhart, Iowa. It's a little town near Ankeny. And I was so little, I don't remember everything, but I remember the church. I remember the park across the street. I remember my friends, Ralph and Helen Brazelton. They were well past retirement age. They were my friends. I've mentioned them before because they were special to me. Ralph and Helen lived on the other side of the church. It was my house, the church, and Ralph and Helen. So I'd yell to my mom, I'm going to see Ralph, and I'd hop on my little bike, and I'd ride half a block down to their house and hang out on their porch and talk, and they'd sneak me a piece of candy or a stick of gum. I'd love spending time with them. And I wasn't the only one. I wasn't the only one who loved them. There wasn't a kid at church who didn't know and love Ralph. At church, Ralph was known as the gum man. Gum man. After morning worship, you'd run to Ralph and he'd have a stick of gum for you. Always Wrigley's Double Mint or Juicy Fruit. And he'd call you by name and he'd give a smile or a hug and ask how school was going. It was such a small thing. But it's those little things that make you feel like you belong. That make you feel like you're loved and cared for and welcome at a place like church. It's just a little thing. We're not called to be something. We're not supposed to do something we can't. It just takes a little thing, whatever you have to bring, and then it's in God's hands. God can do amazing things with the small things that we bring. My friends Ralph and Helen, they had back-to-back funerals. My family had since moved to another town, but we were able to come back and attend Ralph's funeral, the gum man. And at the doors of the church sanctuary that day, they had placed a big basket full of Wrigley's Double Mint and Juicy Fruit for people to take. All around the room, you could see now grown men and women clutching on to a little piece of gum like it was a treasure. God takes little things that we have to give. Whatever it is we have to offer, whatever it is, it's not enough, I know. But God takes it. And when we have the faith to give it, God takes it in his hands. And in the hands of Jesus, this not enough, these small things, they start to grow. Amazing, surprising things can happen in the hands of Jesus. Jesus takes these five loaves. It's just five loaves. We know it's five, right? He takes them in his hands and he blesses them and breaks them and then we kind of lose track of the count after that. And all 5,000 of the men are fed, plus the women and the children, 10,000, 15,000 people are filled. And then Jesus sends out the disciples. They go around, they collect 12 baskets full of leftovers just so they can see how God works. This is how God works. The communion table at this church, the Black Mountain Presbyterian Church, it has an unusual inscription on it. Instead of the usual, "Do this in remembrance of me," their table says, "Has everyone been fed?" And it's not a quote from Scripture. It's a quote from a sermon by Fred Craddock. And Craddock tells the story of an old preacher who after serving communion, asks loudly, "Has everyone been fed?" And at first, the elders think he's just trying to make sure they didn't miss anyone, and so they nod, "Yes, everyone's been fed." But the preacher's not satisfied, and so he asks again, has everyone been fed? And then there's an uncomfortable silence. And in the silence, they hear cars passing by outside. They hear children playing, an ambulance in the distance. And so they remember that there are those who are not with him in the sanctuary that day. And so the preacher's questions take on a deeper meaning. Has everyone been fed? In the Gospel of John, it's just a little boy. It's just a little boy, you remember, who brings these gifts of five loaves and two fish. In our story, it's us. We bring what we have to offer, no more, no less. And these gifts that we have to bring, given over into the hands of Jesus, these gifts that we hand over to Jesus, in the hands of Jesus, the hands of Jesus. Well, you know how the story goes. Amen.